in the hearing of submissions, and the next submitter on our list is Helen Catherine Marshall and Greta Buckingham. Welcome, thank you very much for coming in and putting your submission together, which we read, and also for the 96 photos that you sent in, which we looked at with interest. So you don't need to read that submission out to us, but you're very welcome to speak to it and highlight your key points for us. And you don't have to stand up unless you really, really want to.
Hi. My name is Alan Marshall, and this is my wife Catherine. We live in Waikawa Valley and farm Glen Fern. A property of 943 hectares with 820 effective hectares. I'm the fourth generation of Marshalls to farm Glen Firm, and we would like to see the fifth generation be able to farm profitably and environmentally sustainably here as well. We are active members of our community. Previous and present organisations include Young Farmers, Plunkett, Play Centre, Tokonui Home and School. I served 12 years on the Tokonui School Board of Trustees, and we have both coached various sports teams, our family have been involved in and served on various committees. I'm also on the Edendale Vet Club Board, and I am a member of and past chairman of the South Coast Farm Discussion Group. We are also members of the Waikawa River Catchment Group. We have completed a farm focus plan, which we refer to when planning and planting winter crops. We have also completed and held a field day to promote the land environment planning level 2. Both plans, level 1 and level 2, were completed with input from the land sustainability team. It was when we started doing this that we actually measured and realised we have 48 kilometres of waterway on our property. In my time of farming, I have changed my farming practice from a very intensive mob grazing on small blocks where every break was taken down to 500 kgs a hectare of cover, and on a wet day, the break was muddy. Where now, I farm with the intention of not making mud. The sheep are on a mix of 2, 3 and 4 day breaks, depending on the paddock size and if the weather goes to plan. Always with the intention of leaving covers of 800 kgs per hectare to avoid runoff, so I don't lose any nutrients supplied. We have reduced our stocking rate by 8%, which has resulted in our stock performance increasing by 20%. When I started farming 35 years ago, the Waikawa River was eroding its way across my paddocks. Several stabilisation attempts were made to slow the erosion, and it became apparent that the best way to control this was with riparian planting. This was when I had my first real contact with the river management team at Environment Southland. This led to a meeting with Gary Morgan. Since then, they, Gary Morgan, Nathan Cruikshank and Carl Erickson, have been a wealth of information and brilliant members of our extended farming team. In the last 20 years, we've had a lot of positive feedback from them, and in December 2016, we felt very privileged to be hosting a busload of freshwater science delegates from the conference being held in Invercargill, viewing our sediment traps and riparian plantings. Point one. As a farming entity, we have already given up 100 hectares of our land that is bushel wetland with the introduction of the Resource Management Act. We receive no compensation for this. We may never have been going to farm this land, but we don't have a choice. Point two, the Waikawa River is in a good state, and it has remnant forest on long lengths of its banks, and as a catchment group, we have had a restoration plan prepared in 2007. Landowners involved are buying into it, and we feel we are being lumped into the same basket as everyone else who might not have been as proactive as our catchment group. Point three, the Waikawa catchment is a young catchment in terms of development, and that it still has native trees along its banks as opposed to the main rivers of Southland. Point four, as a council, you need to place more emphasis on catchments and catchment groups so that you can educate and sort problems at the source rather than with a blanket approach. We have already given up so much and have been working towards enhancing our rivers and streams, and with all of Southland blanket approach, we receive nothing but more rules and regulations. Point five, as farmers, we are working with nature every day, yet our conservation of resources is unrecognised because we are not DOC. We are treated like vandals of the estate, which is very unfair when you see what we have saved for our future generations. We have vast tracts of native forest and numerous stands of kauai, which could have been destroyed if we weren't prepared to recognise it for its value in its current state. I'll just move on to the rules that I've commented on in the proposed plan.
Yep.
Rule 14. Good healthy grass is an effective riparian plant and should be able to be maintained in good health so that it can uptake nutrients. Rule 20 was proposed. This is most farming is done on a stock unit per hectare basis, so the 20 hectares rule should have been reduced to 1 hectare, as it is just discrimination as it stands. Rule 23, we oppose. The land sustainability team have been publishing good practice guidelines that, if followed, negate the need for this rule. Rule 25, we oppose this rule as it puts a bigger loading on the heavy country, and lots of paddocks can have small areas with 20% of slope that is not near a waterway. When you start going around bits in the middle of a paddock, you can make working them a lot more difficult. Rule 35, amend. Feed pads are a great way to get cattle off every country. So why are you trying to restrict them when you want the stock off the paddocks? When the runoff is controlled and managed, feed pads are a very good option. Rule 36, amend. If wash water is not allowed to pond, contaminants will end up in waterways. Allowing wash water to pond lets the sediment settle and avoids the runoff, keeping the nutrients trapped. Rule 40, amend. As farmers, we should be able to build the silage stack to suit its end use. Rule 44, I think it's been withdrawn in the updated section, but we supported Rule 44 as we have had neighbours with offal holes dug closer to our house than theirs, so not being allowed to have them within 300 metres of a boundary fence was a good idea. Rule 49, we agree with the amendment to this rule. Catching runoff is no different to putting roof water in a tank. Catching surface runoff for future use makes good conservation sense rather than drilling a hole to lift water. Rule 59, amend. Well-constructed culverts are an essential part of most farms. For safety reasons, there should be a height-to-width ratio as a guideline for construction. Rule 60, amend. Dams and sediment traps are a very good way to keep nutrients on farm. We invest a lot of money in fertiliser, so to catch runoff and sediment traps just makes good sense. Sediment traps at the bottom of swales should be encouraged. Rule 70, we oppose. This rule has some merit, but it just aims too high for too short of a time frame. The land sustainability team have been doing a great job here getting people to save creek margins and swales for last bite grazing as you finish a paddock. And according to the Land and Water Aotearoa, the water testing in Southland over the last 5 years shows that we are holding the line, which is a very positive step and should actually be recognised. In summary, the Land Sustainability Team should have been given more input into the proposed plan, as they have a practical understanding of what is working and what is not. They have an ability to get alongside people and point them towards good practice. We don't believe that Environment Southland do enough with the Land Sustainability Team. They do so much positive on-farm work, but the biggest headlines are always from the compliance side of the council, and this is seen as a negative publicity by the farming community, which hinders the Land Sustainability Team. The negativity and anxiety created by the proposed 2020 water plan will not be felt by the council, but by the Land Sustainability Team. People farming within the rules should not have to have consents, as consents just clog the system. Rules have been continually put in place because Environment Southland have lost the ability to communicate and educate, so they just make more rules. There are no learnings from rules. For the proposed plan to work, you need buy-in from all the stakeholders. We are trying, but from Friday's paper, a major stakeholder, the Invercargill City Council, is dragging the chain. For this plan to work, we all need to move forward together, city and country. As sheep farmers since 1990, our land has already been reduced by 4.1 million hectares to other land uses or retirement through motivation, education and technology. We have maintained the same tonnage of product to market. But if we are made to go smaller, we will lose our ability to be an industry with enough volume to make advances. Thank you.
Did you want to add anything?
No, it's just here to speak up.
Now, you've taken a lot of time, obviously, to type out those notes you read to us. Are you happy to leave a copy of that behind so that we can have a photocopy that can have one each?
Yep,
great. I'll just see if we have any questions for you.
No, I think it's clear you've made your points well and reinforced it through comments. I'd be interested to have a look at that written statement as well, so thank you.
No, that's not your...
That's a culvert that we've put in at home.
So did you want to talk to that?
That was a culvert that was originally put in. It was on a block that we bought 10 years ago, and there are 3-foot concrete pipes that were originally in there, and when we had 90 millimetres of rain one day last year, there was a pipe in the middle that must have been broken, and when we went back after the rain, it was all gone. That's how big a hole was left where the culvert had been. Mm-hmm. We didn't dig that to put that pipe in. That was what happened when a culvert blocks and you get a flood, it cuts a channel like that. We're not on a flat catchment, we're on a rolling catchment, and so, yeah.
So you installed quite a few sediment traps?
Yep, we're practical, we can. We've got, there's a lot of photos, if Catherine wants to.
It's only about 6 or 8 there.
Yeah, with all these photos that we've got a lot of sediment traps.
Yeah, well, we noticed that.
And that picture there, that was a freshwater crawly that was in that last one there. Yeah, you can see it sitting there. Mm. It's actually longer than my foot crawly. Doesn't look it in there, but... So there is a lot of wildlife in those sediment traps.
Thank you.
Yes, I wanted to ask you a bit more detail about the dams. The requirement of consent for dams.
Yeah.
The section 42A notice, which is the... Have you had a look at that?
I've had a look at some of it.
So that's now suggesting that dams less than 2 metres high don't need a... can be permitted and don't need a engineer certificate, but ones between 2 and 4 metres need a certificate from a suitably qualified and experienced engineer, and ones over that, I think you need a building permit or something for those.
Yep.
So is that with that change to dams under 2 metres being able to be put in as permitted activity, but between 2 and 4 you need an engineer's certificate. Is that going to be meet your concerns?
I think we've only got one dam that's over 2 metres.
Right. So that's from the bottom of the stream to the top of the... That'll be okay now, you reckon?
Yeah, I think that was a good amendment.
Okay.
Mate.
All right, excellent. Before you talked about raising sheep down to 800 kilograms per hectare, I think.
Yeah.
And so that's a winter grazing technique, is it?
Yes.
And so if you do that, then you've still got a green pasture and the runoff is pretty minimal, I think.
Yeah, I think the difference between the 500 and 800 is if you go to a golf course, the greens are at under 500 and the fairways are at about 800. So that's the difference that makes.
That's very good. And you've had some useful comments about the farm environment plan. You've obviously got a good relationship with the ES. When we did our field trip, we drove down the Waikawa Valley and looked at the Waikawa stream with the Ribbonwoods and the Kauais and all of that. So we're familiar with that too. So thanks very much again for your submission. It's been very helpful.
Thank you.
I don't go away yet.
Oh,
I just want to ask you about Rule 25, cultivating on sloping ground, and just in terms of what happens on your farm. So what kind of slopes do you cultivate up to, do you reckon?
We've probably cultivated up to about 25, just on small pieces that you drop down over.
Yep. And how do you do that, and what sort of rotation are you usually using on the cultivated slopes? In terms of your cropping rotation, is it regrassing or
fodder crops? Usually one fodder crop and then regrassing.
Yeah, and what would be the length of time between coming back and putting another crop in that area?
Most of the steeper stuff, we try to just do once and do it right.
And what's the actual cultivation technique you use?
On the steeper country, it's been spray and then just harrowing. So trying not to disturb the depth of soil.
Yeah.
Some of it's direct drilling.
Yeah.
Okay. Depends on whether it's how level it is.
Yeah. Okay, thanks very much for coming in and answering our questions.